Well, the epicenter of the coronavirus is the Chinese city of Wuhan, which has been locked down for weeks. But yesterday, President Xi Jinping visited and said there has been a promising turn in containment there. NPR's Beijing correspondent Emily Feng joins us now. Hi, Emily.
Hey, Jeremy.
So you're in Beijing, but what are you hearing about whether life is returning to normal in Wuhan?
It's still in complete shutdown. Officials are debating right now about whether to let people travel again and return to work. But you can understand that officials are still really wary of allowing reinfections or a surge of new cases to happen. And so Hubei province, where Wuhan is located, is still very much under quarantine, but the rest of China is slowly returning back to work.
Well, and we are seeing the numbers of new cases fall dramatically in China. Is it clear why that is?
It's because of the stringent quarantine and social distancing measures that China has taken. There was a recent paper that was published yesterday from researchers, both from the U.S. and from China, that said these quarantine measures work, albeit at a very high cost to the economy, to civil liberties. And in fact, they pointed out one thing that might be new and also effective, which are these new quarantine centers that China built over a course of several weeks to put patients with mild or suspected symptoms of the coronavirus, because a major source of transmission was these people are going home and infecting their family members.
Emily, in this country, there is a lot of anger about people not being able to get tests if they want. If you want a test for coronavirus in China, is it hard to get it?
At the very beginning of the outbreak, particularly in the epicenter in Hubei province, it was very difficult to get tests. And there were multiple private companies that were putting forth these tests, which were not entirely accurate. You saw a lot of false negatives. So the testing issue is something that's universal.
Emily, what about your life in Beijing on a daily basis? What is it like there now?
Honestly, I cannot remember what life was like before the outbreak. Things are still really quiet. Beijing is in a unique place because it was a first-tier city, you know, a major cosmopolitan center that was never completely sealed off, in part because it's a seat of government in China. But it's also where a lot of international travelers come in. And so the fear now in Beijing is there will be imported cases from Japan, Korea, even the U.S., which was reported yesterday. So Beijing is now tightening its quarantine measures while the rest of the country, with the exception of Hubei, are loosening them. Just yesterday said there's foreigners should not travel. And then today they announced that anyone who comes from abroad, comes back to Beijing, has to self-quarantine for 2 weeks.
You know, one of the things that you almost never see in the press when it comes to stories about China and China's government is criticism from people in China. But in this case, we have seen some of that. How do people feel about how the government has handled this?
It's complicated. There has been a lot of criticism, and interestingly enough, some of that criticism has been allowed to survive publicly. The reason for that is a lot of the frustration is with how local officials on the ground bungled the initial approach to containing the outbreak and then tried to cover up the illness. But now the central government has come in and imposed these very rigorous, very, in many people's eyes, responsible quarantine measures. And so the anger is directed not at top leaders like Xi Jinping, but at people in Wuhan and Hubei province who have been fired.
Do you think that this experience is going to make China and China's government more transparent going forward?
No, I don't think so. And it might end up being a PR win for the Chinese Communist Party. At the beginning, people were saying this might be an incredible embarrassment because they haven't been able to contain this virus. But as countries like the U.S. and Italy struggle with how to test and take care of their own patients, China has been saying we've done a great job with quarantine measures because of our unique centralized authoritarian model of governance, and it could be a PR win for them.
And what about surveillance? How is the government tracking people in their daily lives to find out travel history and whether they're sick?
The primary way is through this new app that translates roughly to health codes in English, and it began in one province first. You enter in your ID number, some other personal details, and it'll spit back at you a colored code to indicate your risk of infection. And then you have to show and scan that wherever you go to, say, enter a grocery store or your office. You know, this could be a temporary fad, or it could be laying the groundwork for a much more enduring system of surveillance.
Emily, one more thing. You know, you're kind of a glimpse into our possible future in China, because the U.S. is way behind China in terms of its experience with the coronavirus. What does it feel like for you there watching now what's happening in the United States?
It's incredibly weird because it's a sense of deja vu, the same mistakes that you saw the local and provincial governments in Hubei province making, not being able to get test kits or limiting who could get tested at the very beginning, and then putting in travel restrictions or even full-out quarantines of places that started to show networks of transmission. All of that's not being played out in Italy and the U.S., and that's really heartbreaking to watch.
That is NPR's Beijing correspondent, Emily Feng. Emily, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeremy.